Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Let's get the playoff party started.
22-yard line, that's where Philadelphia opens up. Handoff, it's Barkley running to the left. Barkley gets by everybody! Saquon Barkley is gone! Touchdown! On a snowy Sunday, Saquon Barkley has dominated for the Eagles!
This is a conference championship week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Championship week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I can't say enough good things about him and the leadership that he brings to this football team. He's special.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the program. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. We talked a lot in the first hour. National championship game. Ohio State wins the title over Notre Dame yesterday. We talked a little divisional round. We did NFL Factoid Tuesday. And carrying over, we did the Chiefs penalty slash greatness conversation that definitely exists. And Chief fan laughs at it because they always get the last laugh because they're great. And stats don't show that they get the advantage. But Troy Aikman's on the broadcast just saying out loud, oh, come on.
Come on, man. Come on. We're all unified. Not many things can unify Americans. I think the support of the Buffalo Bills will on Sunday. I think we're all coming together, no matter your political affiliation, your race, your gender. Doesn't matter. We're all coming together on Sunday and rooting for Buffalo.
You think that's what it is, huh?
That's what it is. One, not many things unite us. That's one that can get us together. Anything to beat the Chiefs, man. Don't let them do it again.
We will play that Aikman cut because it's so funny. It's the play you described where he's a runner and he slides last second and then two Texans collide with each other. Mahomes barely gets grazed. They throw a penalty. And now people are concluding what's going to happen this week and based on what ref is reffing the game. It's a thing that exists. But again, to my point, I think to your point too, both things can be true. But you also, you cannot afford to shoot yourself in the foot even once against this team, especially at this point, because nobody is better. They've won the most one-score games, the most single-digit wins. Like, this team, in nut crunch time, it's going to be hard. You'd be hard pressed to find anybody that would pick against them.
They've reached a point. Go back and look at Mahomes' numbers from their playoff run last year and then follow it up with what he did on Saturday. He on Saturday was 16 of 25 for 177 yards and a touchdown.
It's their defense. That's their defense is winning the Super Bowl.
They're dominant defensively. Yes. They don't turn the football over. They don't do a lot. They take the points whenever they're down in the red zone because they know they have an elite defense and they're not going to have to score a million points to win a game. Like, you have to be nearly perfect in order to beat them.
It's Houston, 12 total.
Yeah, Houston is far from it, and Houston was far from it on Saturday from being perfect. It'll never happen. My biggest request of the NFL officiating, and this isn't just a Mahomes thing, this is an everybody thing. The second you cross a line of scrimmage as a quarterback, you're unprotected in any way, shape, or form.
The sliding thing is a tough one.
You want to lay down in the fetal position to avoid a hit, then lay down in the fetal position to avoid a hit. But if you're going to run the football,
I tend to agree with
you. You're a football player.
Because what if running backs start sliding?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they get that, right?
No, they don't get the same protection. It's just a quarterback thing. If you hit a guy high in the pocket, like whatever, fine, flag him, even though the Will Anderson one early in the game was not a great call. Once you pass the line of scrimmage, all protection is gone. There's no red jersey on you. You can hit you however you want to hit you.
Let's play them Aikman cut, and then we'll move on to some of the other action from divisional round weekend.
Personal foul. Unnecessary roughness. Defense number 39.
Come on.
15-yard penalty.
Here's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a runner, and I could not disagree with that one more, and he barely gets hit. That's the second penalty now that's been called against the Texans. They've got to address it in the offseason. You can't, as a quarterback, run around and play games with defenders and then be able to draw a penalty.
I think that's kind of just where most people are at. I love Troy Aikman's zero Fs. And here's my last point, not on just not the Chief game, but just a general officiating thing.
Mm-hmm.
They brought this up on the broadcast. We are seeing Skybox randomly buzz down. And I think we talked about this around week 7 or 8 or something. Nobody really knows what triggers the skybox from coming in and changing something.
Nope, they randomly do it sometimes, and sometimes they don't.
And I'm not saying, like, maybe the Will Anderson one, you want to say his face mask touched his face mask, so by definition, I won't argue. That one was egregious, the second one. And so, like, I don't understand what the skybox is for and how it's used. And I think the NFL is actually flirting with real danger here of when are they going to skybox conference championship games and Super Bowl moments and take flags away or change something that dictates or changes flow of game. And that's kind of my only thing is if you watch that replay, that's not a penalty
in any way, shape, or form.
Skybox buzz.
Not a penalty. Pick it up.
We've picked it up. The flag is picked up. Okay, great. Good call. But they don't. And so, like, when they do and how they do, nobody knows these answers. I'm watching this show, The Silo. We got through it. We caught up all the way through 2 seasons. And there's this mysterious voice in the show, and you don't know where it's coming from and who it is and why it is, and that's the skybox. I'm sitting in a silo as a sports fan, and
Chime in. Wait. Change a call.
Can you explain what's happening?
No, go away.
Not a roughing call.
Safeguard.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just move on to the next game and wait for the skybox god to tell me, like, what's a foul and what's not a foul.
It's such an easy fix. It's always been there for the league. They only choose to do it 20% of the time, and I don't understand why.
Like, at least the NBA is transparent about the replay process.
Hey, in the last 3 minutes, this was a bad call. This was a bad call. We shouldn't have given those free throws. At least they'll come out and tell you how wrong they were after every single game.
That wasn't a three.
It'd be nice to get that from the NFL. It's incredibly frustrating, and when you see calls like that happen and pile up as the game goes on, it leaves you shaking your head, and it's unfortunate. And the other part, you know, our buddy Ken Barkley brought this up on Twitter this weekend, and people went at him a little bit, but I actually think there's a lot of validity to it. This is, like, the NFL is a league that had Bounty Gate in it. Let's all remember that is a thing that happened in the NFL.
Yep.
If I'm a defensive coordinator going against Kansas City, and I know that the slightest little transgression against Mahomes is going to cause me a 15-yard penalty, what are you telling your defenders to do? If he's going to dance around and not go down immediately on a slide, that was the call that Aikman was talking about there. It's where he had an easy pathway to go out of bounds for like a 4-yard gain. He decided not to. He danced around, waited until two defenders got close, went down at the last second. They came in to hit him because he wasn't down at the time they left their feet, and they end up getting the flag. I'm telling my defenders in those moments, take his head off. Like, if he's going to do that stuff, and I'm going to get flagged regardless of any contact, Like, people got really upset. I'm not advocating for that in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to see that in the NFL. But when you're dancing around and baiting guys to basically get a flag in those moments, eventually a D coordinator is going to say, dude, enough of this. We're going to get penalized either way. Why would we graze the top of his shoulder pad and get 15 yards when I can deliver a blow? And it just, I don't want to see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
Seven straight AFC title games.
It's remarkable, man. They're unstoppable.
It's just nuts.
Doesn't matter who comes and goes. Elite wide receivers. Trent McDuffie, to me, was the other story of that game. Just how good he is.
Well, I mean,
what
look,
a find he was. It's just what they're doing defensively is remarkable.
I would say that, like, it's hard not to get wrapped up in the penalty stuff and the Mahomes floppy stuff. But, like, Kelce, we all talked about maybe he tanks the regular season for this, and he had his best game of the year, and
here
it's
he
not
comes.
Close.
He's going to do it again on Sunday.
But defensively, a lot of this is officials and flags and Mahomes and lightning rod topic for sure. The defense, man, we all know it's the defense, and yet we still don't talk about how awesome they all are.
This is how quarterback conversations work, man. It's all Mahomes.
Guys, Karlofkis, they've got they got Bolton, they've got Jones, they got McDuffie. I mean, just everywhere on that field. I had a take about Legarius. They're going to drop a little Legarius Sneed. This is how you lose the dynasty. Boy, what a stupid take that was. Their defense is just as dominant.
Yep.
And they're going to be a home team this weekend for the conference championship. And maybe go to another Super Bowl. It just, that's the story of the Chiefs, really, more so than the officiating, is how laughably great their front office staff has been in their recent drafts, getting all of these young players and also saying, you know what, guys, you're great. I'm also going to add you, Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And like Andy Reid's getting his flowers. He deserves them. He's one of the all-time great coaches. And him and the Mahomes partnership is obviously one of the greatest. Spags is just like sitting there, dialed, ready to go, getting pressure when they need to, getting key stops, creating turnovers. Not in this game, but they have created several turnovers. And that side of the ball, we know it's the best side. We know it's been carrying them for the last couple years. And we're still like, penalties. I hate Mahomes. Kelce, Swift. The defense just
Caitlin Clark. Why is Caitlin Clark there? Get her off my TV.
But it's the defense and how awesome they've been. Seven straight conference championship games. That's stuff you dream of. They're one away from tying the Patriots, the greatest dynasty of our lives in football. And they're one more away from tying that, and they're a slight home favorite, but they might be on the doorstep of potentially three-peating.
They're two wins away from doing something that no dynasty has ever done. And we're out of one dynasty era, we're in another one, and it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I'm not going to go in thinking otherwise, because then I'm just going to be disappointed. So congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on winning a third straight Super Bowl. Nobody can score on you, and you will get the whistle, and you have Mahomes. And please, for the love of God, don't let me down, Buffalo.
I can't wait for Josh Allen to have, like, two touchdowns rushing, two touchdowns throwing, or one, and just have an awesome game. And I'm just going to feel like it's Thor at the end of Infinity War, where
he's going to score with 47 seconds left, and then Mahomes is going to get the ball, and you're going to say, yep, I know how this is going to end.
Throw the hammer right into Thanos. He's going to have the Infinity Stones, and you're like, he won! He did it!
He got him!
And he snaps his fingers and disappears. You go, nope. No, he didn't.
Nope,
I thought it was over. And
oh, look at that. He's
wasn't.
Going back to another Super Bowl. And Buffalo's heartbroken again with a fourth straight playoff loss to Kansas City.
What do you want to talk about? Would you rather talk about Jaden Daniels and what happened to Detroit? Or would you rather talk about the Ravens and the Bills?
Let's do Jaden Daniels first. Let's give him his flowers first. That should be a little more level-headed of conversation. But before we all take a steaming dump on Lamar Jackson, who's never going to win a big playoff game his entire career. Do you know that out of the weekend?
We might be. Yeah, I've heard
It'll never happen.
We may be going to D.C. for the ticker. Don't forget, it's a Tuesday, so mail sack. I forgot the mail sack's open today. It's a weird Tuesday because it feels like a Monday. Mail sacks at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. Jaden Daniels, man, he's awesome. Next on The Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is Commanders Radio Network's call. David Harrison, who covers the Commanders for Sports Illustrated, is going to join us for the ticker coming up here at the bottom of the hour. I mean, it's probably one of the more shocking games and final outcomes I can remember in the playoffs. So we've seen upsets. We've certainly seen them. But for the Commanders to score 45 in Detroit and kind of weirdly dominate after a slight slow start, I'm still sitting here with you Tuesday saying I cannot believe that happened that way.
Their opening drive of the game, they put Mariota in for a fourth down conversion, which at this point I think we would just lean on. If you're in a big playoff game, maybe don't ask a duck to do something currently. We don't got a great track record going in playoff games over the last month, so maybe let's leave Mariota on the sideline for that one next. Although, to be fair to him, it looked like the running back got confused and thought it was a tush push and kind of ran into him, and he was trying to pitch it to Jaden Daniels, so that was mass confusion. When the game started that way, you just thought, oh, this isn't going to, wow, that's really how your game's, that's your fourth down call at the start of the game, and then you look up at the end of it, and they've hung basically half a hundred on Detroit. The bad Jared Goff showed up, and The question that I asked on Friday, and this started to kind of eat away at my brain a little bit after what the Rams did to the Vikings in the wild card round, because we all had major concerns about Detroit defensively in the second half of the year. They couldn't stop anybody. They were getting torched. They were incredibly banged up. And then they had that game the last week of the regular season where they were dominant and Sam Darnold was confused and couldn't do anything and they were sacking him left to right. You thought, man, Glenn kind of figured it out. Maybe Anzalone's back. They're getting healthier. Okay, maybe Detroit's defense is going to be fine. And then the next week, I saw the Rams do literally the exact same thing. Now, LA's got a fine defense.
Their defense has been really good for like the last 7 weeks.
Totally fair. Yeah. So I thought, but the second I saw that, I thought, now, is that more of a Minnesota thing that people have figured out against Darnold and Kevin O'Connell? Or was that Detroit and LA are playing great defense? And then at halftime, they gave up 28 points in the second quarter to a rookie quarterback at home in a playoff game.
This is kind of why I love the NFL the most, is there is not a single soul. Today, they'll tell you how they knew the whole time.
I told you.
Not a single soul would have told you that 14-3 Minnesota and 15-2 Detroit were not going to win a single playoff game and the NFC North was going to go 0-for. You cannot play 17 NFL games, be 15-2, and then everybody thinks you're going to lose that game. Maybe they took the Commanders with points and the Vegas stuff. Yeah, okay.
Sure, I like him at 8.5.
But man, and Jaden Daniels was so stinking great in this game. I'm not really sure it's close. This is the best rookie season I've ever seen from a quarterback.
I'm
not really sure there's an argument to be made for somebody else.
No, there's not. There's other great ones, and there's not. Yeah, nobody will touch this.
This is unreal. He was unfazed, and I think you saw this. At least I hope you didn't. If you didn't, this was like an underrated, under-the-radar story on Sunday that came out. So I'm sitting there watching him just be awesome. He against the blitz, it doesn't matter. They didn't generate any pressure with four.
Nope.
And he's carving them up. And on Sunday, I'm reading, and you know what helped him? Do you know what a sneaky demand he had in the draft? He didn't demand he go to different teams.
I do remember this.
He demanded that whatever team drafted him invest in virtual reality.
Yeah.
And there was a story that came out Sunday, and we can ask David Harrison about this at the ticker. On game days, he puts on VR when he wakes up, and the VR is set up where it's in the stadium he's going to play in, whether that's home or away, and it gives him the coverages that he's going to face. And I'm not saying his skill doesn't also just pop in these, but he simulates game things through virtual reality. And he may not be the only quarterback that's doing this. Feels like everybody should. But I'm reading this and I'm like, God, what a smart idea.
Yeah.
He gets to see the generated defense virtually, and he practices through virtual reality the simulated pressures and coverages, and where does he go if they have this look, and where does he go if they rush this many. And it's not the full reason why they win this game in Detroit, but you read it and you go, God, that's really smart. This dude doesn't go in, and you see it in the games. He's not visibly shook by what's happening to him in these games, good or bad.
Not at all. We have seen rookie quarterbacks get to conference championship games. We've never seen a rookie quarterback be the reason their team got to the conference championship game. And this is the first time in NFL history that that has ever happened. You gave the stat earlier. Every other one, previously there have been five other rookies to get there. All of their defenses ranked in the top three in scoring defense.
Yep.
Washington's is 18th. He is the reason they're in the conference championship game. This, to me, solidified a little bit of the take of, I know it's a gamble sometimes, I know it's a roll of the dice, and I know the vast majority of these players do not pan out. If I'm a languishing organization that's looking for direction, you take chances at quarterbacks, because landing the right quarterback changes everything about the structure of your organization. And Washington is not here without him. To the note of the blitz, when Detroit tried to bring pressure, there was not a single time that they blitzed him that it resulted in a negative play.
He was 12 of 16 for 191 and one touchdown.
Here are some of the gains on plays that he was blitzed. A 24-yard gain, 13-yard gain, 11-yard gain, 58-yard gain, 38-yard gain, 14-yard scramble, 12-yard gain. He had a QBR versus the blitz of 99.4 for the night. I'm at a loss for words for what he's doing right now. You feel horrible for Detroit because of the season that they had and the screenshots of the fans and the way that they looked in the stands at the end of the game. Like, another year has come and gone, and you were the number one seed and you were 15-2. You got close last year. This was your year to get over the hump.
They were closer last year. They were 17 on the Niners.
They were up 17 points in that game, and that was the other note that I jotted down of how painful it must be for Detroit to be a team that last year, some fans would argue, lost the NFC title game because they were overly aggressive on fourth down. Mm-hmm. What did Washington do in their building on Saturday night? How many times did they go for it on fourth down, and how many times did they get those fourth down conversions? They had the early one with Mariota that ended up not working out very well for them. After that, on fourth down, let me see, what were they? They were 3 of 4, and they were also aided on one time where Detroit had 12 guys on the field, and credit to Brady because he saw it and he was screaming at them to call a timeout. They were 4-12 on third down. Washington was on the night. That's a decent number for Detroit's defense. The hard part was they couldn't get off the field on fourth down, and they used their own medicine against them.
Well, their defense was so banged to hell, and they certainly didn't play how they'd played against the Vikings. What I would also say is we see that number and we're like, God, the defense. Seven of those came from Goff's pick six.
Yes.
He had, what, five total turnovers in this game. He had three picks, a fumble, and Jamison Williams threw a pick.
Yeah.
You can't have five turnovers in a game. Like, go through the history of the league. I'd actually be curious to see that.
How many teams have won a game with five turnovers?
In any moment, regular or postseason. Like, it feels like that's an impossible stat to overcome. And it was kind of the takeaway, again, I had from a divisional round weekend. Here was Jaden Daniels in the postgame on his team's belief they could do it.
I mean, I always believe that we could achieve more than what people give us credit for. But, you know, you got to go out there, put in the work. You got to go out there and work daily, get better each and every day. And just put your head down and grind. And by the end of the time of the season, you look up, you might be in a position like this.
They underrated part for them, too. He was awesome, obviously. They ran for 182 yards, so they torched the front seven of Detroit. They got a push. And the one thing that kind of left me puzzled, and I'm sure they're still puzzled internally, even though they're going to lose both their coordinators, Jared Goff throwing 40 times and Jahmyr Gibbs running 14.
Yeah.
it just felt off. And the early turnover, okay, all right. Then another turnover, and you're watching Gibbs get the ball, and every time he runs it, he averaged 7.5 yards a carry.
He had 105 yards on 14 carries.
Like, yeah, you want to be flashy and sexy and fun, like, cool. Tom's calling the game. I might work for him.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson, run the football. It's working. They could not stop the run. They only let Gibbs run 14 times. Montgomery clearly wasn't all the way healthy. Goff throwing 40 times, and I know some of that comes in garbage time. It just was a problem. They did not stick with kind of who their identity was last year and the year before. Physical, smashy in the mouth football. They got a little too flashy, and they also turned the football over. Commanders and Daniels end up winning that game. Gibbs should have gotten more carries.
They absolutely should have. They lost their balance offensively. Their defense was terrible. And when bad Jared Goff shows up in moments like that, it just, that's a tough recipe. And Dan Campbell said it when they lost the NFC title game last year. There's no guarantee we're going to get back to this spot. He was incredibly honest with his team. And he was right this year. And now you've already lost your offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Your defensive coordinator is likely going to depart as well in the coming days and take a head coaching job, whether it be New Orleans or Dallas or somewhere, New York maybe, with the Jets. He's going to land a head coaching gig. So you're going to have to replace both coordinators. You got a quarterback who's on a little bit shaky ground after that playoff start. And it just, I feel terrible for that city, man. This was their time. This was their moment. And a rookie quarterback came out of nowhere and just snatched it from them.
We're going to punt the mail sack today. We talked about this during the break. We don't normally like to do that. We want to talk about a lot of these divisional round games. May get to a segment on Scoot Henderson. Hello, Scoot Henderson, line two. So we'll punt the mail sack to tomorrow. Any questions you guys send in at the Vancouver Ford text line, we will copy paste them and put them in tomorrow, whether that's on the chat, Twitter, or again, the text line. We'll get to the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. Man, what a game that was. Saquon Barkley's still running right now.
Still going.
The Rams still cannot stop him.
Another touchdown.
But we're going to continue on with the Commanders thing because a rookie quarterback playing that way and that well is kind of the story of the week. And David Harrison covers the Commanders for Sports Illustrated. He joins us for the Daily Ticker next on 1080 The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is poured by Pelican Brewing, your local coastal brewery. Independently brewing since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Tuesday, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing, proudly serving hoppy beverages for everyone. Grab your favorite Pelican Brew or try Pelican's hop-infused Sparkle Hops, featuring fun fruit flavors and zero alcohol. Sparkle into the new year with Pelican Brewing's non-alcoholic Sparkle Hops. Let's go to the nation's capital for our Daily Ticker today as we talk about the Commies and what they did on the road to Detroit on Saturday night. Joining us now is David Harrison, covering the Commanders for Commanders SIs, also the man behind the Locked On Commanders podcast, at dharrison82 on Twitter. Go give him a follow. David, good morning to you, man. If I would have told you in August that the Commanders would be in the NFC Championship game, what would your reaction have been?
Good morning to you, first of all. You were probably not going to be correct. But, you know, it wouldn't have necessarily been because I had a doubt in the path of the team. It would just been, you know, it's going to take at least, you know, maybe the second season, things like that. And, of course, you got to see how veterans like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz pan out. So certainly, you know, by August, there was a lot of confidence in the path that the team was on, but not a lot of belief, I suppose, is the best way to put it, that it would come to fruition this fast.
Yeah. DC's had some all-time great athletes, especially ones that started out really hot in their
careers. Ovechkin's about to break the all-time goals record.
But I'm curious where this sits with DC sports fans. As you mentioned, Ovechkin, who was instantly amazing, right? Bryce Harper was really good. Where does this rank Jaden Daniels in year one for one of the local DC teams of just, my God, is this the greatest first season an athlete could have in DC sports history?
I mean, honestly, I think it is. I think it's going to be number one. And a big reason for it is not just because, obviously, you know, NFC Championship game and a rookie year and all that stuff, but also, you know, there was a ton of excitement around RG3, you know, when he came out and was doing his thing and all that stuff. And you know, some of it's fair, some of it's unfair, obviously, but like, the shine around the person as well as the player, you know, really, really got dim there towards the end. And it's kind of, you know, some people who want to remember, you know, the great rookie campaign and all that stuff is still kind of a, yeah, but, you know, how good of a person are you talking about when you talk about this person? Jaden, you know, just is an all around, you know, just kind of guy that is worth rooting for, you know, puts in the hard work. Very humble attitude. It's not just for show. It's not just in front of the microphones. It's very real. And you can kind of feel that genuine, you know, part about him. And you see him the way that he celebrates when Marcus Mariota throws a game-winning touchdown pass and how he celebrates more for Marcus than he does for himself and all these things. Like, so there's just a sense that not only do you have a great quarterback, an electric quarterback that has revived the franchise, but you also have a kid that's worth cheering for and worth, you know, putting the money behind the jersey and all that stuff. So I think that because of that, because, you know, there was a lot of, you know, just some of this play style and all that stuff, but there were a lot of callbacks to RG3 and a lot of concern that this is going to be another RG3 situation. And, you know, it couldn't be further from, you know, that, even though it does look fairly similar to the first year production. So I think that because of that and the fact that the NFL is king, you know, it's going to be up there.
Yeah. David Harrison, our guest, covering the Commanders at DHarrison82 on Twitter. You go check out the Locked On Commanders podcast as well. I've looked from afar at the Commanders organization in jealousy now for a little over a year because we're dealing with, in Portland, a horrible owner that doesn't really have any direction, and we're just kind of we're lost in the middle of nowhere, tanking again. There's not a lot of hope for the short term or the long term future, and I feel like that's probably where Commander fans were for a long time when Snyder was the owner. What was the sense of relief just amongst the fan base and inside that locker room, maybe, when you had a change in ownership and a new hope? And obviously, I don't think, as you mentioned, people saw it coming to fruition this quickly, but it's remarkable how quickly that transition went from old owner to new owner, and now you're back to winning.
Yeah, it really has been remarkable. You know, when the ownership group, you know, came in and Dan Snyder, you know, went out, there was obviously a kind of a weight being lifted off of the organization and the weight being lifted off the fan base was kind of the beginning. And I think the fans kind of understood this is the beginning of us being able to be proud to be fans of this franchise again. And you know, there were some expectations going into that first season with Josh Harris as the owner that, you know, maybe Ron Rivera and the staff without all of the drama and everything around them. And certainly there were some players that had a lot of, you know, support locally. You know, safety Cam Curl is one that I think of who's no longer with the team. Wide receiver Curtis Samuel is one who's no longer with the team. Things like that. But, you know, four win season comes and there's just a sense that, okay, now it's time. You know, they turned the page organizationally. Now it's time to turn the page from a football standpoint. And, you know, from the locker room, I don't know that the players would necessarily say there was a massive, you know, shift felt when the ownership changed, just because, you know, it's not like Dan Snyder was in there telling Ron Rivera, you know, here's what plays we're calling, here's the strategy, things like that. They definitely will focus more on that. But, you know, at the same time, everybody wants to feel proud of the organization they work for, right? Like, nobody wants to go to work every day and be embarrassed to say, this is the company I work for. So I think there's certainly a part of it. I don't know how impactful it really was, but I'll tell you, this group of guys here, and, you know, over 60% roster turnover from that active roster last year to this year. So not a lot of carryover, but the guys who are here now and understand what was happening beforehand, they love it. And you know, you look after these games, and obviously Magic is going to get, you know, all the camera clicks and all that stuff, but there's no fewer than, you know, five or six of these parts of this ownership group that are here and their families, and they're just enjoying every moment and congratulating the coaches and the players and showing their appreciation. And so these players with this ownership group absolutely feel like it's a holistic effort. It's not, you know, someone sitting in their ivory tower watching their workers make them millions. It's a group effort.
I think a lot of people would look at this, David, and say the term house money. But at this point, you look at the matchup, you get to the conference championship game. Yeah, nobody saw it coming, but Jalen Hurts bent that knee pretty weirdly, couldn't do anything after that. Saquon Barkley basically ran for $150 in both games this season, lost by 8 the first time. They had that comeback at the end of the game, touchdown with 6 seconds to go ahead and beat the Eagles at the end of the season. So we had a split. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this matchup going into it based on what it is? And to add to that, got to play in Tampa in the first one, got to play in a dome in the second one. Philly looked really cold this weekend when they played the Rams. How do you think they'll play in the snow and just the matchup in general for the third time against the Eagles?
I mean, the great news is, you know, experience is behind them, right? Like, they played the Eagles multiple times, like you just talked about. They played in the cold, so Jaden has gotten his opportunity to get the NFL, you know, the taste of the NFL with the freezing weather and all that stuff. And that's what this team has really kind of shown, is every time they get a little bit of experience – doing something. They're going to do it better the second time. And so I think this game's going to be incredibly competitive. You know, it could definitely go either way. There's going to be a handful of plays that will dictate whether it's the Eagles, whether it's the Commanders. But I think at the end of the day, every football fan watching the game is going to get a competitive matchup. What's really interesting is, as you mentioned, you know, the comeback, the game that each of these teams have lost in this series this year, they both had the lead going into the fourth quarter. So it's almost one of those situations where, you know, if you're a superstitious fan, you're kind of hoping your favorite team is trailing in the, when the fourth quarter starts, because that might be how this whole thing comes out. But yeah, Jalen Hurts, his injury situation is obviously one to watch. I think we're going to see a defensive strategy that's very similar to what we saw against the Detroit Lions for the Commanders, and that is, you know, keep those safeties in the middle of the field, kind of play that zone, keep the eyes forward so you can react to whatever the offense is trying to do. Kind of a classic bend, don't break type of situation, you know, against the Lions. I mean, they gave up, every score that they gave up to the Lions, except for the last one was a touchdown. But, you know, 4 out of 5 scores were touchdowns, but then you had the takeaways that prevent the points from going on the board, and that's ultimately what you want to do. I guess any high-powered offense is not let them score touchdowns, whether that's by taking the ball away, which is the most, you know, advantageous way, obviously, or, you know, maybe you give up some yards, but you force them into field goals, and your offense goes out there, tries to put up enough points to where you're putting pressure on the opposing side, and they've got to kind of go away from their running backs. You know, the Lions giving the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs only 14 times in that divisional round game is insane, but because of the way the Commanders were scoring, it kind of forced Ben Johnson's hand to put the ball into Jared Goff's hand, and that's where the Commanders' defense was really able to capitalize. So I think that's kind of the blueprint. I mean, you know, every offense wants to start fast, so that's not necessarily groundbreaking information, but, you know, if the Commanders can take their two chances or two opportunities against this Eagles defense this year and put them to good use and come out with a strategy to be able to put up some points early, then, you know, arguably you potentially put Kellen Moore in a situation where he's got to lean more on Jalen Hurts, and that only plays in the Commanders' hands.
Yeah, good stuff. David Harrison covering the Commanders for Commanders on SI, the Locked On Commanders podcast as well. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at DHarrison82. Thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy the NFC Championship game, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
There you go. David Harrison covering the Washington Commanders, who were in the NFC Championship game.
By the way, I looked it up just, I was curious, because I also said the same thing. Jahmyr Gibbs, 14 carries, was the dumbest thing, and maybe he was press Ben Johnson. When they had a 14-10 lead, he had 6 carries. So the Scary Terry touchdown that put them up 17-14, he only got 8 after that?
8 carries.
You were down 3. That shouldn't have pressed them at all. That was just not proper play calling, which anytime a team like them loses... But the big storyline behind the scenes is coordinator is going to take a gig. I'm not that Ohio State wouldn't have beat Notre Dame either way, but you see what happened as soon as Notre Dame lost?
Yeah, their head coach left. The defense coordinator was gone immediately.
He's gone to Cincinnati.
Game.
So, yeah. Like, when your team loses, you start to kind of wonder and ask yourself, like, are the coordinators?
Are you there?
Are they all in on the week? Or are they busy with interviews and game planning for their future? And, look, Commanders, you give them all the credit in the world. They were awesome, and Jaden Daniels is one of, if not the biggest story from the weekend.
He absolutely was. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing, proudly serving hoppy beverages for everyone. Grab your favorite Pelican brew or try Pelican's hop-infused sparkle hops featuring fun fruit flavors and zero alcohol. Sparkle into the new year with Pelican Brewing's non-alcoholic sparkle hops. I got a couple of more notes on this game, including the Jared Goff numbers. Does this give you any hope? And then we haven't even talked about Lamar versus Josh Allen yet. We're almost 2 hours into the show. We haven't talked about how Lamar always chokes in the playoffs and will never win another playoff game the rest of his career.
Right.
It's mathematically impossible. He can never do it. So that's still to come. A little more on this game next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We are getting mail sack questions in. We have announced we are moving the mail sack to tomorrow.
Dirt with the hot take. We're punting the mail
sack. Too much. We have literally not even talked about Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen yet. That game was insanely good.
Yeah, that was great.
We haven't even talked about Philly and LA. We haven't even gotten to
is
that.
It, Is it possible Sunday slate. To say all the games were great?
It was a perfect weekend of football.
Like, I know the Commanders were
10 out of 10, no notes.
Yeah, same.
No complaints.
Same.
Every game you can make a, well, could have been there. No, dude, every game was compelling, had fun storylines, yeah. Controversy, somewhat competitive. They kept you around the entire time. 10 out of 10 divisional round, no notes from me.
And the ratings show it. I mean, Bills Ravens got 40 million viewers.
That's pretty good if you're
in not even
building.
The record.
It's not even the record.
Bills Chiefs got 42 when they faced a couple years
that
ago.
That number on Sunday is going to be insane. It's a late window,
it might get
too.
To 50.
Like, holy smokes, that number is going to be massive.
Well, and I'm watching the end of that game. You know how I watched it? On my phone as I'm doing the gambling podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like live on the air. I literally did play-by-play on that show.
Oh,
I'm
look
like,
at that. They scored a touchdown.
Jackson rolls out, turns. He's got Andrews. No, Andrews drops the ball.
What are we doing?
Should have pulled my call. We got the Romo call. Should have pulled my call.
Does seeing the Commanders move on from a terrible owner to a new owner give fan bases hope who have bad owners?
Yeah, if you have Jaden Daniels. Did you feel this way last year? No, you didn't.
No,
this ownership group didn't start this year.
I don't know that it does because look all that it took to finally force him into enough shame and the league and the other owners to finally distance themselves from him.
He also got billions of dollars.
Yeah, it's not like he's hurting, but
it's kind of a weird thing. We're like, yeah, you're gone, loser. He's like, I made $4 billion, you morons.
This franchise.
Look, I totally understand how right now, especially with our local team, it can have this feel of, oh my God, things can be better.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Should be noted, no clue who's buying the Blazers once the Vulcans decide to sell. So like, I know we think it's going to be Uncle Phil. Don't know when that's going to happen or if it will be. And you have to have this. This is, everybody has the same conclusion from this, right? Nobody had them really maybe winning this game. Maybe some, but largely nobody did. You have to have this. This is magic. He might be NFC Mahomes. People are already saying he's the best quarterback in the conference.
I mean, who are you taking over him right now?
If I wouldn't
fantasy
argue.
Fantasy drafting?
I wouldn't argue
is there anybody you would take in the NFC over Jaden Daniels right now?
No, and I totally get why the takes exist. I'm just saying, like, it's easy to point to this and say, this is what new ownership can give you. And yeah, I'd like some normalcy. But if they don't get Jaden Daniels, if they would have taken J.J. McCarthy, we're not doing this segment. So, like, that guy made us and everybody feel different about their ownership situation.
Yeah.
It's certainly better than Snyder. Hard to be worse than that, but if they don't get Jaden Daniels, none of this matters.
There was a great tweet that went viral from Dan Orlovsky from last
February.
February,
he said he would have taken Daniels.
Says he should be the number one quarterback in the draft. Everybody killed him for the take. How do you do that? Caleb Williams is clear cut the number one guy. Blah blah blah. It led to this whole debate, but he's been on this for a while. Some of the notes on Jared Goff, by the way, from the night, from a clean pocket on Saturday night, he was 10 of 11 for 137 yards. 10 of 11 for 137 yards. Under pressure in the game, he was 3 of 10 for 43 yards and 2 interceptions. And that was the downfall of Detroit turning the football over. What did we make of the weird back and forth between Brady and Kevin Burkhardt on the ownership interview questions? You guys catch that when they were doing it?
And he basically said, you'll be here. You have to be
here. He said,
here.
Basically, you're going to be here for the next 9 years. But he said, Tom, you're an owner now. And it's you get the chance to be in some of these interviews. And Ben Johnson's, it was like a very weird, he can't talk about that, but we're asking him about it. It just, I don't know, that was kind of a strange moment in the broadcast to me.
Get off the broadcast.
Yeah, move on. What are we doing?
Look, the money's great. You're basically the pseudo-owner now. Davis doesn't really know what he's doing. He's got the controlling stake in it. But it sounds like, by all reports, that he's got a huge amount of say in all of these decisions.
He's sitting in on all the head coach interviews.
By the way, I know they may not win a whole lot, and maybe people hate this decision. Totally get the old coach thing. I have takes on Belichick. I don't know how mad I'd be if they went Pete Carroll. They're one of the more useless, irrelevant organizations in the last decade. The Raiders. I kind of understand it. Create a little culture for a couple years, and then you lost out on Ben Johnson. He's going to Caleb Williams in Chicago. They may also get Dennis Allen as DC, which that's a nice little offseason get, with what everybody thought about those guys and what they coach. If you went Pete Carroll and established some culture, I wouldn't blame him. The broadcast note, weird. You could kind of feel the uncomfortableness from Tom Brady.
Yeah, I can't talk about this, but you're asking me about it.
And I missed Greg Olson.
Be here for another 9 years. You can't go anywhere, Tom. All right, KB. I won't. One last note on the game now. After Saturday night and the Commanders punching their ticket to the NFC Championship game, every team in the NFC has made a conference championship game this century. Yeah, every single one.
Except
for one.
How about them?
How about the Cowboys? The only one. The only team in the NFC this century, which, by the way, as of a couple of weeks ago, is now 25 years in. Only one team in the NFC has not made an NFC championship game, and that is the Dallas Cowboys.
I want them to hire Jason Witten.
Please, for the love of God, let it happen.
So bad.
Let it happen.
There was one quick thing, and I know you want to. We're in the third hour already. One quick observation that may not get brought up at all this week.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders went to a small college women's basketball game this weekend.
He did.
I don't know why nobody talked about this, but it stuck out to me. He went in the locker room and shouted out one of the players who won the game for them. Deion Sanders is one of the best marketing branding guys in sports as a sports figure. Not a single shred of Colorado Buffalo merch was on him. And that's the first time I've seen him not wear any Buffalo gear in any way in any kind of appearance. It was all straight lined Nike gear.
Yeah, they've already leaked the story that's going to set up his departure. He went to Rick George last week and asked for more NIL money, and Colorado shot him down. Neither side would confirm, but the second he leaves for another job, that got leaked for one reason and one reason only. The groundwork has been laid.
That guy wants Buffaloes showed everywhere he goes. He wore no Buffalo merch
Buffalo
at all
gear
in that locker room, and I went, oh, that's kind of telling to me.
Probably had
we'll
an Aflac sweatshirt on. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Crunch Time, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online, crunch.com. Let's get to Allen versus Lamar. Can we be rational and nuanced in that conversation, or will we lose our minds? Philly, does anybody enjoy watching the Eagles play outside of Eagles fans? That's a question I have in the final hour. Also, are we on to something here in Portland? Load a final hour to go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.